Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
Turn with me this morning to the book of Esther. Of course, today this is Father's Day, and we want just to celebrate that a little bit. And the title of my message is Brought Up. And this morning, as we look at this, and you say, how are you going to preach a Father's Day message in the book of Esther? Well, we'll see how that's going to work out. Esther chapter 2, verse 7, it says this, and Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the young woman was lovely and beautiful. And when her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. Lord, today we thank you, we praise you in this house. We thank you for your presence, Lord, that has been among us. Lord, we thank you for the testimony, God, of our youth that have went to camp, God. And we thank you, Lord, for Gunner and what you did with them in New York, God, and those that got saved. And Lord, we thank you for your presence here in this very room this morning as we share this word. And Lord, we pray that you'll just stir our hearts, God, today for your glory, for your praise in this house, in Jesus' name. You know, the book of Esther is a powerful story of God's provision in a critical time of need. If you read it, you'll find that story is there. He was making preparation, though, way before the need was apparent. You know, God's not caught off guard. And so God was putting things in order before even the need was ever apparent to those that he was working through. Setting things in order so that he could work on the behalf of his people. You know, the Christ coming to the cross of Calvary wasn't an overnight thought. It was a detailed, worked out plan that we could have salvation. God works in such an order. And we find that in the book of Esther, that he was putting things in place. I want to encourage somebody this morning that you may not know it, but God's putting some things in place in your life to have what you've been praying for. God is not mentioned one time in the book of Esther. Yet just as we see his hand and the sun rises and the sun sets in the panhandle of Texas, we see his hand throughout the book of Esther. It's visible, but yet the name is not mentioned one time. Esther is the star in the book. After all, that is what most would agree to what her name meant, was star. We are not told of her age. And again, there's a lot of opinions of how old Esther was, but the scripture tells us the king sent out looking for young virgin women to come and take the place of Queen Vashti, who had insulted the king by not coming in and prating before all the drunken men that were at his party. And so they done away with that queen. So how did the Jewish girl rise to the position of queen of Persia, of that kingdom? I know you could tell me to read the story this morning so that I could find out how it happened. And I have read that story. I know the details of that story, and I'm not going to cover those details this morning because there's a lot of preaching in the book of Esther about how the Holy Spirit moves and different things that God does for such a time as this and different things like that. But I ask, what or who helped her to be acceptable before for this position of queen? And that's quite the position to hold. I believe the answer for who in this story would be Mordecai. I know God's hand was in the midst of it. I've already said that. But listen, for her just to be ready for this moment, for that time of her life, Mordecai played a huge part in her being queen. And sometimes we forget about the people in the background of our lives, and we forget about them that poured into us. We forget about those that literally have made and helped us to be the people we are today. And ever the spotlight's on us as the spotlight is on Esther. After all, the book is named after Esther, not Mordecai. But Mordecai played a huge part in Esther's life in getting her ready for that moment that God was going to show her the open door that for her life to go through. See, Mordecai was the influencer behind Esther's success. If Esther would have received a reward for being queen, she would have said something like this: I first would like to thank my God, and secondly, I would like to thank Mordecai for all that he did in my life. I believe that. Because Mordecai had such an influence. So what made Mordecai such an influence in Esther's life? We find the answer in the verse I read this morning in Esther chapter 2, verse 7. And Mordecai had brought up Hadassah. That is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. And the young woman who was lovely and beautiful when her father had and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. Listen, and maybe underline it, dads or moms, because this is really important for both of us. In that verse, it says, and Mordecai had brought her up. There's a lot to think about the word, and when it comes to that very thing, when it says he brought her up. That word entails so many thoughts when we truly look at it, because it isn't something like she's in my house. It's something else that he had been involved in her life. And we talk about bringing up. Could you agree with me this morning? We have too many people, too many kids being raised today, or not being raised, that are not being brought up. They're not being brought up. The word brought up actually means to be raised. And to raise means that there should be some input. I'm jumping ahead of my sermon. I know I am. But listen, the word speaks of great detail of what takes place. I want to mention three things this morning that perhaps we can help us when we talk about Mordecai, because that word is important when we think about Mordecai brought her up. Now, how many of you have already raised your children? How many of you got grandkids you need to help? So this message is going to apply to all of us in this room this morning, except for you that don't have kids or you that are still in grade school. At least the first thing that we need to do, if we are going to bring some kids up, if we're going to raise them up, if we're going to be that person that they would say, this person brought that person up, the first thing is acceptance of the assignment is a must. Acceptance of the assignment is a must. Listen, he became a father to the assignment. Now, the assignment here I'm speaking of, he became a father to Esther. I've heard it said that anyone can father a child, but it takes a real man to be a dad. Listen, to father a child is using the verb form of the word father. But being a father to a child is using the noun form of the word. There's a difference in those two words, to father a child and to be a father to a child. And that same word that means the father to the child is the same word, if you Google dad, it'll give you that father word, to be a father or to be a dad to that child. It takes someone special to be that person. So literally, to be a father to a child has nothing to do with fathering a child. Let me say that again. Literally, to be a father to a child has nothing to do with fathering a child, but everything to do with one's interaction in bringing that child up. Everything to do with bringing that child up, or that interaction in raising a child. That is what counts. That is where the word father comes in, is when we are interacting. And it's the same thing with moms. It's when moms are interacting with that child. Mordecai's assignment was Esther. Listen, both of Esther's parents had passed away. Esther was an orphan. She did not have a mom and dad. And literally, it wasn't the system we have today with foster cares and different things. Literally, when there was an orphan, there was very few people that would take care of that person or take care of that child. Here, Mordecai steps in. Mordecai was Esther's first cousin, and there must have been a huge age difference, where that's not uncommon. I found that in my mother's family. When you have 10 kids, the oldest can be like 30 years older than someone else. But he took her into his house, and he raised her as his daughter. This is so critical in order to being a dad or to be a father. It wasn't, I mean, he accepted the assignment that had came into his household. I'm going to tell you today, every good dad, every good father will look at a child and realize that God has put that child under their roof, and that they will accept the assignment to raise that child. If you don't want to accept it, then you won't raise the child. You have to accept it. This is so critical, because there's so many men that do not do that. Another thing, his heart was in it for the assignment. Listen, Mordecai did not have the Jonah attitude. Come on, Jonah didn't want to go preach. He only went to Nineveh because he found himself in the whale's belly, and he repented a little bit, but he preached to 100,000 people, and he was still sad that they got saved. What an attitude to have. Okay, God, I did what you wanted me to do, but I'm not happy about it. Listen, Mordecai was not that way. He accepted his assignment to raise Esther, and he brought Esther into his home, and Mordecai was not this person that was all upset because he had another mouth to feed or because he had someone else to raise, but Mordecai literally was involved in what Esther was doing. How do I say that? Listen, when Esther got called to the castle, Esther 2:11 says this, "And every day Mordecai paced in front of the court of the women's quarter to learn of Esther's welfare and what was happening to her." After the king and the king's men went and got Esther, they brought her, and all these young virgins went into the castle, and the king was, I haven't got time for the whole storyline, but they were seeing if the king would accept them or not. Esther was in this harlem of them, and there she was, and she had been accepted. And Mordecai, this guy that raised her, this guy that brought her up, was outside every day. Hey, how's my Esther doing? How's my daughter doing? It wasn't like he regretted the fact that she was living there. He actually got involved in her life and was part of her life. Can I tell you, gentlemen, if you have somebody in your house, perhaps it's not your biological son or daughter, the best way to be a father to them is be in their life. Raise them, bring them up like you would want to be brought up, because it makes a difference in their lives. Here, Mordecai had done that. He was involved in her life, and Christian dads are to be involved in their children's lives. I know work keeps some of us aside, but we need to make effort to be there when we need to be there. They don't leave it all up to moms. Let me say it again, women. They don't leave it all up to moms. Still quiet. They don't leave it all up to moms. There we go. Now we got it. Listen, they take their part in raising a child. They don't they don't consume their time on themselves. They don't say, listen, there's time that you need to put toys up and all this and accept the responsibility of what God has assigned to your household. It's time that you raise that child. I know it's fun. We was in a gentleman's garage the other day. Gunner and I was in their garage, and we went over. I've been looking for a lawnmower for Ryan's house over there that was cheap, that just mows some weeds, because that's all that's over there. And I said, you're not going to use our good lawnmower on your yard, because I don't want those weeds over in this yard that we're mowing. So I found one for $50. Hallelujah. Good lawnmower. Look brand new. And I go in this guy's garage, and he's got a bow and arrow over here, and I can tell he reloads his own shells, and then he's got a couple enduro bikes, and I'm thinking, this guy's got a lot going on in his life that's all about him. Gentlemen, I want to encourage you this morning. When we accept the assignment to raise a child, we need to pour our life in that child. Mom doesn't need to be staying home with them all the time. We need to be part of that process of that. I can talk like this because my kids are out of the house, but I'm telling you, I got a granddaughter coming up. Woo, doggy. But I'm saying today, it is an effort. It is something. Esther didn't just show up and be ready for the court of the king or the king's court because she just showed up there. Mordecai poured into her life by raising her. He did things in her life. You can tell when he called a fast, when he called her. Listen, one of the things about raising a child, and I'm abbreviating this message right now. Listen, one of the things that we must understand and that he spent time with her. When advice was needed, he took that moment and poured it into her life. There are opportunities when we're raising a child, when a child's in the household, whether it's a mom or dad, there's times that we need to give advice whether they like it or not. Amen? We know that before she left the household, before she left the house, Mordecai gave her this advice. He says, do not let them know your nationality. I don't know why he told her that, but this was still under his roof, and he was giving Esther advice as a father would give a daughter advice. I'm going to tell you, we got to take time in life to give advice to the children that God has put under our roofs. We must do that. You know, I remember it's been about 6 years ago at TJ's funeral. And I remember a grandson sitting up there and reading a list of things that TJ had gave. That stuck in my heart, Betty, for it's still here. And he read down this list that TJ had gave, and I thought, I wished I would have had a granddad, or I wished I would have had a dad that would have made a list up for me like that. Oh, Billy, when it comes to this, don't do that. Carry your pocket knife. I remember that part. All this advice. Gentlemen and women today, let me tell you something. These that are under our roof need to hear the right things. They need to have advice. Yes, they need to have the advice that's going to guide them in life, that would keep them on the path, the straight path, the narrow path. Because God would have us to do that. It's giving advice when needed. I was giving advice sometimes. I didn't like it. But you know, sometimes it's not our responsibility for them to obey it. It's our responsibility to give it. I'm not talking in a way that, listen, I always have an opinion about something. Is that right? And I don't want to be someone that's in Amanda and Jerry's business all the time, but I feel some things. And that's how life is. But when they're under our roof, Mordecai had no problem saying, don't tell them who your name is or what your nationality is. And it played out to be good advice for them and also for a whole nation at the end of it. It was wise advice. And so he was giving them advice when they were under the roof. Oh, dads, moms, pour into your children and lead them the way, because out there are so many avenues that are trying to pull them away from a relationship with God. Have a sit down with them. Don't tell them what to do. Tell them why not to do something. Explain why it'll be better this way. Explain why they don't need to do that and this. Because it will impact their lives. He even gave her advice after she left the roof, underneath the roof. It came one day, the story got to Esther. Hey, your dad's out there, your father's out there, and he's got sackcloths on. He's just crying bitterly and all this. So she sent some of her servants. Now she's queen. She's arrived. She's in a position of great authority. And she sent someone down. Give these clothes to him. Tell him to put these clothes on and quit being embarrassing to me. I mean, you know, dads can still embarrass a person. He wouldn't take them, and he told him, you go tell her what's going on, that all of us are about to be executed. You go give her the advice and tell her this while you're doing it. How many of you have it? And here's another thing. And so I can hear Mordecai going, hey, and here is another thing. Tell her, don't think she's going to be safe in her little cushion job up there as a king because her name is going to be a Jew also. You know what that advice was? It was harsh, but it was loving, and it was direct to the point. Come on, sometimes when the kid gets out from underneath the roof, does it release us from the responsibility? I'm not talking, again, not about meddling in their lives, but sometimes we need to give advice when it's needed. And we need to be that person for them. And that only comes if they have the respect for us like we need, it, like they need to have in our lives. So Mordecai had that going on with Esther. One that's not his biological daughter, but one that he has adopted. He poured in such a way that he had a really good relationship with her. Here's another thing about Mordecai. I believe in it. I've preached the first and second point. The second one is actuality of living what you teach is a must. Come on, if you're going to have children that's going to follow you, children that you'll be able to speak into their lives, they've got to see you living what you're teaching. You know, this, I don't know where it ever came from. And, you know, do what I say, not what I do. That is not a good, absolutely no good way of doing it. Mordecai was faithful to his call no matter what was taking place in his life. He didn't let the enemy take him. You know, Haman, he wouldn't bow to Haman. Why? Because Mordecai was a Jew. You trace the bloodline of Haman, and you'll find that he was an Elamite. Amalekite, that's what it is. And he was a sworn enemy to the Jews. He wasn't just doing, but also he would not bow to anybody other than his God. You know what that was a testimony to Esther? Is this fact, that this guy that raised me, he's going to be the same guy outside as he was in the house. The public, whether he's in the public or is he under the roof, he's going to be the man that's going to serve God no matter what. He knew that he could get in trouble for not bowing before Haman, but he refused to do that. Gentlemen, may I say today that what we say on the inside of the house needs to be also on the outside of the house. Our witness should be going with us no matter how far we go. My father-in-law, he had a ranch, and they had a place in Florida, and around the ranch area, you always seen him in Levi's and boots and a cowboy hat or a cap. When I seen him in Florida, he has shorts on and sandals and looked totally different. He looked more relaxed out there. But I asked him, he says, why do you not do that? He says, I got a 500-mile radius rule, and I'm a cowboy within that 500 miles. What is that? Some guys are something different in the house than they are outside. And if we're going to have that influence into our children's life, we must be the same guy either way. They must say, oh, I know what Dad's going to do on this one, because it's going to touch their hearts and because they know who you are. He was loyal to his heritage. I think sometimes we forget what our heritage is as children of God. Can I tell you, when we come into a relationship with Christ, our lives change. We have a new citizenship in heaven, is what the Bible speaks of. In my heritage, I mean, I know I got things on this earth that I enjoy, but I'm going to tell you, my heritage is up there. My heritage is in the Christian's principle, or God's principles, kingdom principles. And listen, Mordecai was loyal to his heritage. Even when it came to a point they said they're going to wipe him out, hey, that's when he started to fast, ripped his clothes, cried out. What for? For his people. I think sometimes we forget to do that, to be loyal to what God has called us to do as men. It's important that we have that in our life. It's important that we have that witness in front of our children. I was watching Andy Griffin the other day, and such a good show. Every now and then I see one that's a rerun. And Opie was trying to sell a bicycle, and his dad knew there was a lot of things wrong with that bike, and Opie wouldn't tell him everything that was the guy that was buying it. And Andy got on to him about, you need to tell everybody, why didn't you tell him that it had a bad chain and all this stuff? And so he got on to Opie. Well, Andy was at that moment, Barney was trying to sell real estate, and Andy was trying to sell his house. And you know how it goes to house selling. You don't tell everybody what all's wrong with your house. Well, the buyer's in there, and Opie says, well, what about those leaky pipes, Dad? And what about that crack in the where you painted over it in the kitchen? And Andy took him to the side and says, listen, why did you do that? Is this because I got on to you about the bike? And he says, well, I just figure if you told me to tell everything about my bicycle, you ought to be telling everybody about the house. And Eddie said, well, you know, it's different rules for the adults. Long story short, Opie taught Andy a lesson. And sometimes we forget that, gentlemen, that what we do speaks louder than what we say. And we need to be that person this morning. So part of the reason that Esther was successful was the way Mordecai brought her up. Mordecai being basically her stepfather. But may I remind you this morning that anybody can father a child, but it takes someone special to be a father to a child. Pastor, if you'll come this morning. How can we be better dads? How can we be better? First one is acceptance of the assignment. And then actuality of living, what we teach is a must. And advice when need be is a must also. There never comes a time, I wish literally that my dad's been gone 24 years now, and I wish they had text messaging from heaven. I would reply back to that. Because there's been times that I'd like to ask for advice from him. But let me tell you today, gentlemen, if you have children in your life, give them advice when it's needed. Don't give up on them. Try to stir them, because there's things that they need to hear from you. Because God wants you to be that father. Everybody stand with me, would you, this morning? As I was doing some research for this message, which literally I have cut 15 minutes out of it this morning. But as I was doing research, this one may surprise you. That one out of four children in America don't have a father figure in their house. And I'm not talking about some guy that called. Never mind, I ain't gonna go there. I'm talking about a true father figure. One out of four. You know what the numbers that is? That's 18 to 22 million. What I got out of the story of Mordecai is he took someone that was not his own and he brought him in and became a father figure to that person. I don't know, gentlemen, maybe you have someone in your family this morning. And maybe they're not able to live with you, but you can be a father figure to them if they don't have that figure in their house. You can be that person. God didn't just bring them around, or maybe it's a friend of your child, or maybe it's somebody that comes to our church this morning. Maybe it's one of our teenagers that come to this church this morning that needs a father figure in their lives. The deal is, to be that father, it takes interaction with them, being there for them. being there for advice. They should be able to, if you take somebody in like that, let them text you, say, hey, what about this? And give them good advice or whatever it may be. But I want to encourage you this morning. I know that God gives us children, but also He gives us children that literally did not come from our family, but they came from outside. And there's nothing to keep us from being that father figure, that dad to them. I thank God for that. You know, I didn't go around trying to adopt 5 different dads. But I'm going to tell you, it's good to have somebody to speak into your life. And we need that in our life today. God's putting that child, whoever it may be, and they may be grown, they may be in their 20s, but you know what I figured out in my 20s? Looking back, I didn't know much. And they may need somebody to guide them and help them. I'm saying if you haven't got somebody in your life, but you know somebody that God's put in your life, I want you to extend a hand of love to them and say, I want to be that person for you. Because see, we can change that 1 out of 4. And I believe the reason our country's the way it is today is because gentlemen have vacated the house. May we be that person. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, today we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the story of Mordecai, Father, this morning. And Father, we thank you, God, that of the example of how he took Esther in. And Lord, he became that father to Esther, Lord. And Lord, today we're thankful that even here, God, that each one of us have that Heavenly Father, Lord, for we were unsaved without hope, but you took us into your family and you are our Heavenly Father. And I thank you for that, God, today. And Lord, I'm praying, Lord, if there's others, God, that are in our lives, God, that need that father figure, Lord, I pray that you'd point them out to us in our lives. And Lord, if there's young people in this house, Lord, that need a father figure in their house or in their lives, God, may you also help them to step forward and just say, hey, could you be that for me? Father, I pray. Lord, because I know, Lord, that you, Lord, came and you're there for the lonely, God. You're there for the fatherless, Lord. And may we also be there for them. Now, Father, may you bless each person here today. May you pour your Spirit out upon them. May you guide them, direct them, God, in the path of righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.